This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Have you noticed the moon looking brighter lately? It's not your imagination if you have, and it's just the beginning of a stunning few months in the night sky, from something big and beautiful overhead to a strange ripple deep in our own galaxy. There's plenty happening above us right now, and most of it we can see with our own eyes. Well, joining us is Dr. Rebecca Davies from Swinburne University's Technology Centre for Astrophysics and Supercomputing. Rebecca, good to have you back.
Thank you. It's very nice to be back again.
Now, for anyone who's missed the headlines, what exactly is a supermoon?
Yeah, so, I mean, there is no really strict definition for a supermoon. Basically, these are the biggest and the brightest full moons that we have every year. The most common definition is probably when the moon is within about 90% of the closest approach to Earth. So the reason that we get supermoons is because the moon orbits around the Earth in kind of an ellipse, like an egg shape. That means sometimes it's closer to the Earth and sometimes it's further away from the Earth. Now, the difference is pretty small. It's only about 10%, but it's enough that we can tell the difference between the size of and the brightness of the full moon when it's closest to us and when it's furthest away from us. So these supermoons that happen when the moon is closest to the Earth, they tend to be about 30% brighter and 14% larger than the smallest moons when the moon is furthest away from the Earth.
So how many have we got? Is it four in a row that we're seeing? Is that unusual?
Yeah, so there's four in a row. It might seem a bit weird, but actually it's pretty normal to have about two to four supermoons in a row. So the last supermoon that we had, I think, was in November 2024. And then we just had one on the 7th of October, so last week. And now we have another three on the 5th of November, the 4th of December, and the 2nd of January. And the 5th of November one will actually be the biggest moon of the year. So for anyone that missed the one last week, they shouldn't fret. It's interesting that they come in these series, but basically the reason for that is because we see a supermoon when the full moon phase happens at the same time that the moon is closest to the Earth in its orbit. But the whole Earth-moon system is orbiting around the sun. So at some times of year, the closest approach of the moon will happen when there is a new moon phase, and at other times it will happen during the full moon phase. So during that part of the year when the full moon and the closest approach coincide, that's when we get this sort of series of supermoons happening.
Rebecca, if we have missed the supermoons, and I've missed them, and we want to see the one that's coming in November, where's the best place to see it, and how do we go about, do we just look up? That sounds like a movie.
Yeah, I mean, that's the really great thing about supermoons is that they're big and they're bright. And so generally they're pretty easy to see as long as, you know, the sky isn't covered with clouds. So the best way to see the supermoon is to try to catch it just when it's on closest to the horizon. So either when the moon is rising or just before it sets. And the reason for that is that our eyes seem to find the moon to look bigger when it's closest to the horizon. We don't really know why this is. It might be because there are other objects that we can compare it to on the horizon. It's the same size, you know, when it's on the horizon and when it's at the top of the sky. But generally, when the moon is just rising is a really good time to see it. And if you try and find somewhere that has a really clear view of the eastern horizon, so maybe like a park that has a big flat area or a beach, or, you know, the top of a hill would be a really great place to see it as well. And so for the 5th of November, I think the moonrise is around 7:50 p.m. So it should be a really nice time to see it.
Rebecca, it's in the calendar now. We're not going to mention that now. There's also a bit of a great wave rippling through our Milky Way. What have astronomers discovered there?
Yeah, so this is really interesting new information from the Gaia satellite about the structure of our galaxy. Now, people might think that being our own galaxy, we've already mapped everything there is to know. We know exactly the structure of our galaxy and how it formed. But actually, it turns out that because we are inside our galaxy, it's pretty difficult to understand its structure. You can think about if you're inside your own house and confined to one room, it's going to be a bit difficult to get an overall picture of what the house looks like, but it's much easier to look at other people's houses that you can just take pictures of. And so the Gaia satellite has been giving us really important insights into what our galaxy looks like. It's actually mapped the positions and velocities of over 2 billion stars. And using this information, we can start to reconstruct how the stars are distributed through the galaxy, but also how they're moving over time. And the way that we do that is basically by observing each star lots and lots and lots of times over the 10-year mission of the Gaia satellite. And so then it can determine how these stars are moving. And what Gaia found was that there seems to be this wave in the outer galaxy where it's not just kind of a thin disk. There seems to be a warp, and some stars are moving up and some stars are moving down. So you can think of it maybe like a wave rippling through a pond. And this is not, it looks like it's not a stationary feature because there's kind of an offset between the positions of the stars and their velocities. So there's kind of a lag where stars that are still a bit lower down in the disk seem to be moving up. So it looks like the wave is moving across, but we're only catching a snapshot in time, like if you tried to take a picture of a Mexican wave in a stadium, for example.
Rebecca, you know what I love about this? It's like anything in life. Sometimes you need to step outside to see what's going on, don't you?
For sure. We have a lot more detailed images of like the Andromeda galaxy, which is the nearest neighbor to us, just because it's so much easier to see from the outside.
Now, Rebecca, let's move on. Last time we spoke to you, we had a bit of an interstellar visitor saying hello. Have you got an update for us on that?
Yeah, so anyone that likes to read the space news will have continuously read a lot about this interstellar comet 3I Atlas. It came into our solar system in July, and we immediately knew that this was something from outside the solar system because it's moving way, way faster than any of the objects that were formed in our own solar system. And this is really exciting because basically we can get unique information about the conditions that planets might...
Oh, Rebecca, I think we might have lost you, but you'll no doubt come back. Now, just a couple of messages came in. Tanya in Elwood says, nothing beats moonrise over St. Kilda Pier. Magical every single time. Also, Chris in Fentry Gully says, we always drive up to Mount Dandenong for a clear view. Jess in Williamstown, I saw the supermoon reflected in the bay. Absolutely stunning. And this one, Kathy says, you can't beat a country sky. Bendigo lookout is unreal on full moon night. So it seems like we've lost Rebecca there. That is Rebecca Davis from Swinburne University of Technology. But we got most of our space update this week here on Joy Drive.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.